Well, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on January 26, 2022. It's a pleasure to have you here today. And if you're listening on the archives, you know that we have a way you can subscribe to our Education Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts. That's on the description there. But we archive everything over at ace-ed.org. ace-ed.org is the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And all of our podcasts are over there. Our magazine, Equity in Access, is over there. It's our online journal. We're very proud of it. A link to our other websites, SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, seltoday.org, is over there as well. So everything we do is at ace-ed.org, and I hope you take a minute, go over there, check it out. We are the voice of the Consortium for Equity, the voice of ace-ed.org, and we're darn proud of it. I got a great show for you today with my old friend Doug Roberts. I haven't seen Doug or anyone with the pandemic for a long time. It's just we had a show scheduled, and we got screwed up on the schedule, and we made sure Doug is back here. So Doug Roberts, he's the founder and CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation, which is a national school superintendent think tank that serves as a bridge, brings together district leaders and the industry. Okay, so they can work together, they can hear what each other is doing, develop needs, develop solutions to the greatest challenges these days in K-12 education. And as such, Doug, as the CEO, has really great insight into what's going on with the superintendencies these days. It's Larry here. Good morning, Doug. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Larry. How are you? Yeah, we haven't seen each other in person.
Oh, I haven't seen anybody in too damn long. I haven't aged
at
all,
but
you're probably an old gray-haired guy wearing it with a walker now. Am I right? Is that true?
Well, I was going to say, I bet maybe you got some new hairstyle rocking for me. I'm just still a bald, middle-aged guy. Nothing changed. I grew a beard.
Right. I do, too. There you go. I grew a beard. That was my pandemic
dream. My wife was like, grow a beard. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
How long is the beard?
Is it a long beard, like a David Letterman?
Oh, no. Trust me, it was a little bit of a leap for me to even grow this thing at all. I did it for marriage and for love, and it's pretty tight, pretty trimmed.
And those are the best reasons to do that. You sound like a medieval knight. I'm sure you look great, my friend. It's good to have you here. And I must ask, I have to ask you this. You bring together, and I love what you do, and you'll tell everybody about it, the Institute for Education Innovation. And by the way, the website, if you want to look, is instituteforedinnovation.com. It's long, but you only have to do it once into your browser.
Yeah.
instituteforedinnovation.com. All right? So you try to bring the gang together. I think are you going to Puerto Rico soon for one of these meetings? Did I remember that?
Yeah, we are. And we actually, you can go to ieik12.com too.
I
tried to shorten it up.
Smart move.
We're meeting in Puerto Rico February 10th to 13th. One of our favorite, a repeat location for us. We do it on a weekend, so it's an opportunity for our members to get a little respite most of the time that they don't have classes in session back in the district. So minimize out-of-district time, but a good place for two reasons. One, it's just, most of us are in the cold right now, and just getting together and kind of kicking around these big ideas short-sleeve shirts is nice.
Nice.
But secondly, we have the opportunity, every school district in America right now is dealing with all kinds of challenges, and it's requiring our leaders and our educators and our kids to be all kinds of resilient. And there's a model of resiliency happening in the Puerto Rican Department of Education schools. They had the pandemic before the pandemic in the hurricane.
Hurricane Maria was a terrible,
challenging response and a lack of kind of support sometimes for the individual schools. It was a really rough go for them, and they got hit harder than we've ever seen any public school system. You don't see as much coverage.
Right.
I mean, you see some coverage, but when I think about kind of what we do, what our superintendents do every day, these folks have been putting out fires for almost 10 years. So we're going to get a chance to meet some of the educators and students who've been through all that. And we're going to try to learn some lessons about resilience from them and bring them back to our district. So it's just Puerto Rico's a beautiful island with wonderful people and important part
sure
of our
is.
country and our national.
I'm just
going to
say that. Thank you. We sometimes forget. And by coincidence, just last night I was watching on PBS, they had an American Experience about Roberto Clemente, who was Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. And he, you know, he grew up in Puerto Rico, and he came to, quote, spring training for the Pirates down in Florida. And it was like, and you have to understand what I'm saying, it was like he came to a different country. And amazingly, it's the same country. They're Puerto Ricans are American. Okay?
Yeah. I mean, our culture is
the racism he faced. Yeah. And you know, right. We sometimes forget that Puerto Rico is us. You know, I believe we, if it's possible to do we and they, I believe we let them down tremendously. Okay? I'm glad you have it there. I think it's going to be in San Juan or where?
Yeah, we're right in San Juan, right near the airport. So, you know, the focus of this one is, it's one of the things that we do that's a little different than some other kind of conferences is, for yeah, we're small. We can kind of be nimble and move as the issues. So we don't book out speakers months in advance. In fact, the content of our sessions is each other. That's the whole nature of a think tank, right? So it's like a few months out, I have an advisory board of members and other corporate partners, and we kind of, you know, a few months out, we're like, what's everybody worried about right now? What's keeping you up at night? And then we build a program around that so that we can essentially organize conversations between each other for sharing ideas and best practices. So you come to IEI because the issue we're all concerned about right now is making sure our staff feel valued and safe.
And making sure we have a staff, let alone making them feel comfortable. It's terrible out there right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to make sure that we work on the morale issues. We empathize, we take them seriously, and we come up with, but you know, it's not just like being nice and listening. Like there are real strategies that are being deployed in districts across America, including the IEI districts, to help the staff kind of get the respite they need, feel the validation they need for their work. And so we're going to be working together on ideas and strategies for doing that, because something that somebody's doing in Washington State might be applicable to something that someone's doing in Oklahoma and
Absolutely.
Georgia and likewise. And excuse me, our group kind of self-selects for some of the folks who are doing some of the more innovative things in districts. And that's the group is why everybody comes to the event.
Of course, and the network and all that. I have to say something, you know, all those things you just described. I know you heard me say that we have SELtoday.org. That's our new website.
Yeah.
Social-emotional learning. And when we think of social-emotional learning, okay, we tend to think of the students, all right? But you just described something, Doug, and I know the superintendents are thinking about it. That's SEL for the staff and faculty. All right? And we have to be aware that they need to. You said about a respite. You said about resiliency. You said about morale. And all that is the social-emotional aspects of being a professional educator. And I have to give a compliment to somebody I know who's coming to one of the people who's coming to your group is from a company called My Robin. I believe it's My-Robin.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Sonny Tadani, who is one hell of a nice guy. I had him on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Stoops Choice and Award winner, by the way. Stoops Choice Award winner.
You just took the next sentence out of my mouth. You have an award system, okay, called Superintendent's Choice. And his SEL program won for that. Is it my-robin.com? I think that's what it is. Hold on.
I think so, yeah.
I'll get money. Wait,
it's on our website.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, our members took a look at almost 100 solutions and services in K-12, and they provided feedback to all of them and made selections in the series of categories for what they think were the kind of best in class in those categories. And Robin was one of them, and so they got an award from our members. They are the Stoops Choice in their category of SEL, and it was a really cool process. I created this mostly because, you know, being a sponsor of an IEI event is not necessarily in the price range of of all the companies, especially smaller companies or companies making a pivot or, you know, startups. And so this leveled the playing field. Every company got an even fair look from our members. It was
right.
a low price point to enter. And we wanted to get, we believe that if more companies listen to superintendents and if more superintendents listen to the new ideas coming out of the industry, we'll all get better at what we're doing for kids. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and you know, Doug, you just said something that we believe in here over at ra-head.org, and that's industry voice. And I always say that the industry teacher, that the professionals, teachers, principals, superintendents, they tend to see the industry as the sales rep who comes to their door. But every company is – that's the tip of the iceberg, okay? Every company has many, many people who really understand education, and they want to listen to superintendents and educators all through, okay, so they can develop the solutions they need. And what you guys do at IEI, all right, for, you know, industry voice, if I may, I'll brag a little, helps to parallel what we do. People have to listen to the industry, and the industry must listen to the education. It's a very symbiotic relationship, and I love what you guys do with that. And it really is a great opportunity for both sides of that coin to get together. Okay, and I know I speak for the Buffalo Bills, but I say they wish they had picked the other side of the coin. That was a joke. One of the jokes in the Buffalo paper, I got to tell you this, the joke in the Buffalo paper was if you're in a stadium like Arrowhead Stadium and the word head is in the name of the stadium, never pick tails. Never pick tails.
That's probably a good advice. One of the things that our members told me early on when I got this thing started was, you know, we're game, but what was really important to them was the conversations with the partners, vendors, but we use the word partner. The conversation is directed by their needs and interests, the members.
Yeah.
So in other words, superintendents, it's a valuable learning experience if they can guide their own sort of trajectory and who they speak with. So they show up to our event wanting to learn about two or three different topics. There's nobody who's done deeper research than a person who's started a company in a specific area of K-12 work, or who is leading business development for them. Like, they know much about the topic. They talk to districts about that one thing all week long, every week. So one of our members goes, great, I can learn from this person about what they're seeing in this district and that district and what are the best practices. We may do business together, we may not. That's not the point. The point is, I'm here to learn. These people can help me learn about something that's of interest to my day-to-day work right now. And that's how our process with the partners has worked so well, because it's not about sales and pitching. It's about kind of let's learn from each other. And then, the sales stuff happens for the partners as a result because we qualify the connection.
There's nothing wrong with sales, okay? That's good. Right. This is how things
move forward.
We all know that. And to give people the real opportunity to build that relationship, okay, and explain in great depth what's going on. It's really, as I'll say it again, a very symbiotic relationship. I just made this up. It's a win-win. I don't know if you ever heard that cliche before.
Yeah.
It's a win-win.
Right.
But it is.
I looked out at our industry and I saw, you know, I saw that there were, especially when internet-based, when SaaS software technology started to really have an impact in districts, there was some resistance to it from some folks on the district side, like, oh, these people are trying to make money off of us, blah, blah, blah. You never heard that about the textbook, or maybe you did in 1930, right? You never heard that about the school bus, right?
Yeah.
Those are also product, and like the margins on school buses, by the way, are pretty good. So, right? Like this is, I think we've now, at least in the IEI world, we've settled into a place where we got to help each other get better at what we do, and it's a two-way conversation. And then, you know, then for the partners, that their businesses grow if they approach this the right way. They act as consultants, not as bull, and they listen. And that's all we're trying to do.
Well said. You do a good job. Again, everybody, it's IEIK12.com. Will that get them there?
Yeah, and our aspiring superintendent program is at IEILead.com, and Twitter is at IEI_K12.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, very good. It's good stuff to learn about. And I like the aspiring superintendents thing. That's not, I'll make a joke, a bad taste joke. That's not expiring superintendents. That's aspiring superintendents. Okay,
right.
And that brings up my next question, because you're dealing with superintendents all the time, and that is a rough job these days. Okay, and I don't know, you know, I know the folks over at the National Superintendents Roundtable. I know the folks at AASA. I know AASA, and I know you, Doug. Okay, people who work with superintendents, and they are all saying what a tough. There's a lot of attrition out there. A lot of superintendents are leaving due to political pressures. I have to say that, including the pandemic pressures. What's going on? What are you hearing? Is there an upside to all this mess? Okay, is there any opportunity out there? What are you hearing from all the superintendents you deal with? Doug Roberts, everybody. Go ahead.
They're all struggling. They're struggling. I tell people this all the time. I spend a lot of time with superintendents. I happen to find them to be among the most remarkable people I know. Their level of commitment to service, to take on a job that is extremely stressful and political. It's not fun to have to preside over or sit in public meetings where people are upset about things. That's never fun. This past year has been especially challenging.
Yes,
so
it has.
The job was already hard, and you know, they manage hundreds of millions, you know, 7- and 8-figure budgets, a lot of them. And you know, the people who manage 7- and 8-figure budgets in finance or whatever make a bazillion times more money than they do, right? It's not about the money for them. It's about the service. And so that's why I think so many of them happen to be, they have that executive talent. They could be in the private sector, and they're here helping kids learn. And that's what I've always appreciated about them. And, you know, given all that, they're struggling because they tend to be highly empathetic people, and they're watching the people who work with them, who work with the kids, struggle. They're watching people kind of, you know, everyone's tired of the masks. And it's tough.
Yeah.
And then you get into these mask wars and discussions, and it's hard to watch everybody be in distress and to not feel that you can, there's no magic wand to wave to make all of this better. And so folks are putting in long hours. They figured out how to do contact tracing. All of our members are doing stuff like giving principals a day off and taking over. Or in some cases, principals are having to go teach because everyone's got Omicron.
Oh yeah.
Or drive school bus routes.
Yeah. Superintendents.
All that
stuff.
Oh
my God! Not just principals.
Yep. Deputies. It's
brutal out there.
Everyone's, and that's, you know, don't let anybody ever tell us again that school district leaders are not entrepreneurial, because entrepreneurs are known for and lauded for wearing many hats to get the job done, right? And we've seen that happen like crazy the last 2 years, and you know, for that, you know, we're all grateful. So that's what we're hearing. The upside of this is that, let me say, the last thing is that we've seen change at the IEI meetings. They've become
we sit
in a circle now, and everybody kind of gets vulnerable and vents and shares versus, you know, sitting in a big room listening to someone talk, right? Like we've changed our whole process because everyone kind of needs a little support.
I hate to say it, no more the sage on the stage, it's the guide on the side. You know, even at that level, it's the same thing. It's not being talked to, it's being talked with.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
There's a lot more tears, a lot more hugs.
Wow.
It's just people have been connecting in a way because it's been tough. So the upside, you asked about that. So the upside, we got 24, according to Hechinger report, 25% of superintendent jobs will turn over this coming end of the school year, June, July. That's normally around 14%. That's a crazy number, and it's an opportunity to step up. That's, you know, one of the reasons why we're glad to have an aspiring superintendent institute. We're always thinking about how we can help groom the next generation of people to step into the top seat. Or if you're not ready to step into the top seat, how to step into a seat that has bigger responsibility, go from an AP to a principal, go from a teacher to a director of curriculum or anything in between. We're going to need to work really hard to help develop leaders. And what we talk about a lot is that we need to go look for people who we think have leadership aptitude, because not everybody, for a whole variety of reasons, some people who have leadership aptitude don't allow themselves to think that they can be the leader, or
right,
it doesn't even occur to them.
Of course.
We got to go seek the leadership talent and aptitude and go talk to folks and say, hey, I'm willing to help mentor you if you're interested in this. And we have to go out of our way to find folks who may have been, for various structural reasons or historical reasons, looked over for leadership. We got to go find more women. We got to go find more people of color to step into these leadership positions. And we
right.
got to go out of our way to find those folks, because, you know, the last time AASA does a census every 10 years or so of their membership, like in line with the national census, I think it's 92% of superintendents, white people, 75%
like
are guys, right? Like, and the numbers are trending
exactly.
better.
Yeah.
It's up yeah. from 10 years ago. Like, we have a lot more women entering it. So we got more work to do to keep finding people who are ready to step up into leadership roles. And that's what IEI Leads all about. So we get, you mentioned expiring soups before. So
yeah.
all the instructors in IEI Lead are, we call them emeritus.
I like that.
People
that,
who are not
my
currently
standing joke
in
is emeritus. That means old. Yeah, emeritus. That means
yeah.
old. But, yeah.
Well, so some of our IEI Lead instructors are not, quote unquote, old. They're mid-career people.
That's
who,
right.
one reason or another, are not,
right.
not sitting in the seat right now and have a ton of perspective and advice to offer folks who want to step into leadership. And that's what those people like Clayton Wilcox and Tracy Davis and Anthony Hamlet, Mark Bedell has been part of it. Stephen Murley has been part of it.
Mark from Kansas City.
Yeah. yeah.
We just did an interview
yeah.
with him. We're going to have an interview up on site with Mark. It might even be up there right now over at ace-ed.org. It's interesting you said that.
Yeah.
Casey Moe.
Dr. Bedell just got that district accredited by the state after it hasn't been
yes.
for 10 years. And so
yes, that's
for,
right.
for the opportunity for, and he's an advisor to IEI, but for Dr. Bedell to come and spend a half hour, an hour talking with our folks on a Zoom who are hoping to be superintendents, it's an incredible opportunity. We fit into the, there are many places to go learn how to be a district leader. Our approach is all about network, relationships, helping you sort of sort out which districts are going to be a good fit, which aren't. But the other thing that we're big on in terms of the equity work, IEI is able to say some of the things out loud that, you know, it's harder for someone sitting in a seat with a board
right,
to say with press covering them. It's not a secret that it is harder typically to be a superintendent if you don't look like me. Our white men tend to get longer. We know statistically they have longer tenure in the jobs, and
yeah.
press can be more friendly to us. And, you know, the minute, and it's, again, this is the kind of thing that it's hard to say when you're sitting in the seat. So I go out and I tell everybody who will listen to me. It's just, I've seen it. It's just harder. There's more, there's a different kind of scrutiny. When you make a mistake, which we all make mistakes, but the part of the reason why our tenure of our women and people of color superintendents is shorter is that there tends to be a different kind of standard in some communities, in
That's
some
right.
media outlets. And
That's
that
right.
adds to some of the fear about why would I jump into this if it's going to create all
That's
this
right.
hardship in my life and I have to take all this grief. And so part of what we are doing with IEI Lead is helping folks kind of research and make sure that you think the community is going to be a fit and that they'll be, that you'll be able to be successful there. And, but with this turnover of superintendents, the other upside of this, aside from anybody who wants to lead can step up, it's an opportunity to correct
the diversity
underrepresentation
yeah.
of women and
yeah.
people of color in superintendent roles. That's our big
opportunity.
I just did
a show last week with the two female superintendents. Okay. And I was asking, and I said this to them, and I believe I'm correct. Women, to me, this is a very tense world right now, all right? And there's a lot of pressure. And I honestly believe, okay, which sounds stereotypical, okay, that women have a much more calming influence on people, okay? And you add that to their incredible intellect. All right, and there are the female instincts as opposed to male instincts. This is a wonderful time for women to get involved. All right, in superintendency. It's just so obvious.
Yeah.
I want to make another point. You just said something that I was reading last week and in the Boston Globe. What you just said about African-Americans or Latinos in superintendencies is the exact same thing that they are saying and doing, okay, with NFL coaches. The black coaches tend to have much shorter tenures, and these are wonderful coaches, okay? But boom. Boom, it's that quick. The judgment is too quick as opposed to – it's the same exact thing, all right? It's unbelievable. I want to say one other thing, which Doug, you're going to laugh when I tell you this one, okay? Being an old fart like I am these days, okay? When I went to Philadelphia Public Schools, okay, and this is about 37 million years ago. There were dinosaurs ruled the earth, okay? From grade kindergarten, God knows how long before that, okay, till 11th grade, okay, there was the same superintendent of schools. He signed every one of my report cards, you know, semi-officially.
Yeah.
His name was Alan Weather, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that when he left, that was a huge deal in Philadelphia, all right? And I'm talking about many, many years ago. But my point is today we're lucky if a superintendent stays 3-4 years, and you can't have leadership flip like that, okay? Leaders have to be able to be given the time to get the job print that particular school district, you know. And God, that's my speech for today. But I agree with you right down the line on everything.
Yeah, leaders need to look like the kids in the school. So the way to achieve a more equitable outcome so that every kid has access to a great education is for every kid to be able to see someone that looks like them in a leadership position. And it's also important that our we have a lot of majority white or almost all white districts. Those kids also need to see people of color in leadership positions, because that's the way the world works. So if half the students are girls, then half the leaders should be women. And so it wasn't like that historically. This turnover is an opportunity for us to correct that. And so we're all about doing everything we can to help correct that and help develop people who want to be leaders. We actually have an event under IEI Lead that is not just for aspiring superintendents. It's for anybody who wants to develop their leadership skills. This summer, we're partnering with Dr. Lavelle Brown, superintendent of Ithaca Central School District
New
York, where we're having...
He's wonderful. He's terrific.
So we're calling it Cultivating Leaders of Equity and Inclusion. It's for all educators and all educational leaders who want to be warriors for equity and inclusion. And it's July 20. It's right after our summer. Our summer institute is July 18 to 20 in Newport.
Where is it?
In Newport, Rhode Island.
Ooh,
yeah.
Fancy. Ooh.
On the 21st,
The Gilded Age returns. Very good.
And then the 21st, all of IEI will head west over to Ithaca, and then we're going to have this. And this is open to any educational leaders that are eligible to apply, not just superintendents. And Dr. Brown will lead a program focused on how we cultivate ourselves as leaders of equity and inclusion. All of this stuff helps us develop the next generation of leaders, and that's the upside, and that's the way we can respond to the crisis.
Well, I'll tell you, if we can help you broadcast that out, we would be delighted to do that, okay, if you want
sure,
to.
Yeah.
It's totally up to you, my friend, okay, but we'd be delighted to give you – we would be delighted to present that opportunity, and if you think it would be of use, please, we'll tap in and do that together, okay? Not together,
thanks.
It's your thing,
appreciate
but we would help you broadcast it, you know what I mean, okay? I have a question for you. With all this going on with superintendencies, does the training of beyond professional development, I'm talking about literally the colleges and universities, has that come up, okay, within your group of who are current superintendents or perhaps some aspiring ones, as being the way superintendents are being taught now to become superintendents, is it different from what they were taught 10 years ago because the world has certainly changed? In other words, has higher education and the training of superintendents in educational administration changed, okay, as a result of the last 5-6 years. Do you know anything? Have they brought that up at all?
We don't get into the higher ed aspect of it so much. I think that's just the nature of where we work. We talk a lot about the on-the-job training, the mentorship, the coaching. And I think there has been an increase in the opportunities to experience mentorship and coaching through those higher education avenues. You know, we have this process that's been around since the beginning of time where you have to get a credential. You want to teach, you got to get a credential. You want to be
right.
an administrator, got to get a different credential. You got to
right.
go through the courses. And that coursework is just, it's part of the process, but it's only, if I were speaking on behalf of our members and our IEI lead instructors, it's a part of the process, but a lot of the kind of real world, I always say IEI lead is about practical and tactical.
I agree with you.
It's blocking and tackling. It's a role model scenario of a press conference after a tragedy happens. It's practicing sending an email back to a group of parents who are upset. Like it's for us that like, and so I think these folks have to combine all of these different opportunities available to them as they grow into their leadership persona.
Right. And I cannot, the purpose of what you do, and I think this is so important, okay, is that I'll call it on-the-job training. They call it professional development. But everything is so in flux, okay, that we need to be able to
yeah.
be raptors rather than brontosauri, okay? We need to be able to move rapidly, okay, and make changes, okay, and pass
yeah.
the word from one to the other, and that's why it's so important what IEI does. We got to go, my friend, but I'm telling you, I wish you a great trip to Puerto Rico, okay? Have fun.
Oh, thanks.
It's going to be great.
Appreciate it.
Well, you'll
yeah.
be busy, but
thanks
have fun anyway. Yeah.
Thanks for doing what you do, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. We will indeed, Doug. Thanks for being here today, and you do great work over at IEI. I'll remind everybody all about it as we leave. So thank you, my friend. Have a good day.
Thanks, Larry. Cheers.
Beard and all, I might add. Have a good day. Talk to you later. Okay, Doug Roberts, everybody. Founder, CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation, IEI, IEIK12.com, and IEILEAD.com. And we're at ACE-ED.org. Hey, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of ACE-ED.org, all about equity, inclusion, social-emotional learning, and all the things that matter these days. Check out what we do over there. Thanks for listening.